Say, Elliot.
Yes?
Who's your favorite Batman?
Denzel Washington.
Hell yes.
My man.
Okay. And here we are for The Equalizer, continuing this trend of unbelievably awesome crime films in the post-summer season.
Satisfying.
Oh, man.
Just like a great meal.
Yes.
Denzel Washington, I have a question for you. Will you please come and kill me in a charming and cool way?
Okay. I will. My voice
you
is
will.
So fucked
After
up.
After seeing this movie, you'll want Denzel Washington to come do horrible things to you.
It would be an honor.
It really is. You just like, you expected the corpses, like, after the first scene where he, like, really goes off and takes out the entire room, you expected, like, one of them to just, like, be quivering on the floor and start the slow clap going.
Yeah. A bloody Oscar is lifted.
Like somewhere Tony Scott is looking down. Yep. But he's shaking all the time, so you can't really see.
Oh, come on.
You don't have the Parkinson's man, in heaven?
I wasn't talking about Parkinson's. I'm talking about his directorial.
He was talking about his camera work, but still, dude. A man has died here. Obviously, after seeing this movie, I care very much about the sanctity of life because everyone dies in this movie.
The best thing is, like, they treat his character like you're watching Jason kill people.
Yes. Like, he is a boogeyman.
And they never shy away from it. They never give you any real doubt about it either, which is something I love, because oftentimes these movies will pay lip service to, is he going to make it? This one's like, no. He is a badass, and he's who you want to call.
This is The Equalizer is a story about a very incredibly charismatic man finding a beautiful, exquisite call girl and turning her into a boring, normal person.
Oh, pretty woman. Yeah.
It is, except with more people getting killed with corkscrews.
It is the one thing I felt was missing from Pretty Woman was murder.
Well,
so
you know, like, Jason Alexander's character should have met Denzel Washington's character here.
That's true.
Because he was the douchebag in that movie.
There you go. Well, this is the highly suspect review for The Equalizer, and let me just save you the suspense right now. Lots of people get equalized in this movie. I'm Brian.
I'm Elliot.
I'm Bo.
And there you have it. I am so excited to talk about this movie. Denzel Washington, just to give you a rundown of the plot, plays a character named Robert McCreasy. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Robert McCall.
Did you watch the original series?
No, I did not. Oh, but
you could honestly treat this movie as a prequel to The Man on Fire.
This is the thing he did that, like, yeah, got him into some shit, and then he had to move to Mexico.
And he's over here asking, do you think God will forgive us from what we're doing? Like, why would God forgive you? He's just sitting there enjoying it.
Right down to the fact that there's a character in this movie that gives almost the Creasy's aunt is death, and he's about to paint his masterpiece. Like, someone has a line like that in this movie about Robert McCall. So it is very much a, I don't know, you could call it like a spiritual sequel or prequel to Man on Fire.
It's very obvious, and as Man on Fire, I think, came out in 2003, I was going through my Denzel withdrawal of him killing people. So it was nice to see. I appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes. Thanks for coming back to Murder, Denzel.
Well, this is based on a TV series from the 80s with Edward Woodward, who's some of you might know from The Wicker Man, who was a very erudite, sophisticated Anglo-American who worked for a mysterious agency called The Agency, which was the CIA. And to make amends for the sins of his past, he got out and he put an ad in the classified section and said, "Hey, are you having problems? Do you have something that maybe I can help you with? You know, give me a call and I will equalize the shit out of that." but with Edward Woodward, you got kind of this like unassuming English guy, and now you have Denzel being Denzel. And but it's still oh god it works.
See, it really does.
He's so like the very first part of the movie just sets him up as this guy who's like he's so helpful and so fucking on point. You're just like, will you be my dad and help me with all of my problems?
Well,
and not in the please go kill my enemies way, but in the like I need to lose a couple of pounds. Yeah. Can you put me through my paces?
Well, honestly, that first part, like, I was having flashbacks to growing up with my dad, because like, he dresses exactly right. like my dad, and he's shaved bald exactly like my dad, and he's a bear. And my dad, I love my dad to death, but he sometimes has barely contained black man rage. And I'm just like, I recognize like this.
I would. I actually think the original title of this movie was Barely Contained Black Man Rage. It's like, so that makes a lot of
must
sense.
Must not go to the stereotypes, but I am really fucking pissed off right now.
It's the equal rightsalizer.
My favorite part about... Equal rightsalizer, Jesus Christ. My favorite part about Denzel's performance, at the beginning of this movie, he is trying so hard to be unassuming. He is trying so hard to be like... No,
he's
I'm
working
just,
He's working
I'm,
at a fucking
a
Home Depot.
Guy. No big deal. And then, yeah, he's working at a Home Depot for all intents and purposes. And he calls, you know, it's funny, but like, but you can even like, even when he's at his most unassuming, his most normal guy, it's like, you're still Denzel Washington, dude.
Yeah.
Like the camera is still wetting its panties every time it sees you.
It's like
Elliot was wetting.
Right.
You see him like, you know, and he's, you know, for some ungodly reason, he has decided to, he's faked it. He's a ex, you know, black ops operative, black
offensive.
Ops.
Offensive.
You know, just a special forces badass who has faked his own death. Mm-hmm. You know, he was working like high security clearance level, like spooky shit. Faked his own death, and for some ungodly reasons, decides to move to Boston. And so he's
because that's where you want to be if you're black.
Yeah, he's roaming
he likes
around
to live dangerously.
He's roaming around. You know, this kind of you know lower middle class neighborhood. You know, working in a Home Depot, and it's like watching a tiger roam around the monkey cage.
That's exactly it.
It's like no, I don't believe nobody is going like. Who's doing all this stuff? I don't know. Maybe it's that guy over there.
The one who looks like he's on a hair trigger every second you look at him.
Yeah. So Denzel happens to, he goes to a diner every night. He suffers from a little bit of a sleep problem, a bad case of insomnia, you might say. And he goes to this diner and he routinely runs into this girl named Terry, played by Chloe Grace Moretz.
Who does a great job.
Who, yeah, really, like, she really kind of disappears into this role. And she is a... she's a young girl who's kind of been forced into prostitution by the Russian mob.
Well,
and,
not kind of. She's a girl who's been forced into prostitution.
Fully been forced into prostitution by the Russian mob. And one night he notices that she has a black eye. Somebody's really beat her up, worked her over. This incenses him. And when he basically tells her that she needs to get out of the life and start a life of her own. And apparently she tried to pass on that advice to her upper management. And they respectfully... declined her request by putting her in a coma,
and then make the really bad mistake of giving Denzel Washington their card.
Yeah, it's like, here, yeah. We're gonna beat up this girl who is like the last shred, the last tenuous grasp you have on humanity and being cool to people. We're gonna beat her almost to death, and here's where you can find us.
I would very much like you to come murder me later.
Just dig your own grave, man. Just go out with a shovel and dig a shallow hole in the desert because you're already dead.
Yeah, it's like, they insult him too when they hand the car, but say, hey, come try our wares.
Yeah.
And he clearly is trying to help her. It's like, no, it's almost like they're saying, you're not better than me. Here's a card, and you're going to call me, and you're going to prove it to me that you're going to go and get
and
he this
does,
woman.
He does show up, but not so much to patronize the establishment as to paint the
money.
Walls red.
Yeah, and they make a big point in this. Every time he goes up to somebody who has done something really horrible, that he's going to rain vengeance upon them. He does like he says like here's your chance, here's your out. I'm gonna give it to you. Take the motherfucker and no one does.
And it reminded me. This is gonna sound weird that I'm bringing this up in this review, but it reminded me of Doctor Who Matt Smith season. Every time Matt Smith brings down vengeance on somebody as the Doctor, he's like, I have to give them a chance.
Yeah,
I gotta at least give them a chance, and they never take it, and they always get their ass whooped. Except there was one guy in this movie that did at least somewhat listen to Denzel and was like, you know what? I could either have this horrible outcome or I could have whatever you're going to do to me. I'm going to take this horrible outcome.
Yeah, for some reason, the Russian mob, who we see yet again, you know, we talked about it in the John Wick review. The Russian mob, their numbers are dwindling thanks to Keanu Reeves and Denzel Washington.
I feel like you could just let Keanu Reeves and Denzel Washington loose on ISIS and we wouldn't have a problem.
There's your Bill and
just
Ted
sequel.
Just
give them a week.
Alex Winter's there too, but you know, Denzel's like the new Rufus.
Bill and Ted go to the Levant.
Bill and Ted, Assassin's Creed. It's just Denzel sending out Bill and Ted.
A little
Ted.
Bit of a boner just now. Just
yeah, to right? Killing people throughout history. What were we talking about? Equalizer. This movie is apocalyptically violent. Like, when Denzel kills people, I was grimacing the way I was, you know, when I watched, like, the Friday the 13th remake and Jason's hacking off some guy's ear. Like, you know, it is just brutal beyond brutal.
And the thing is, it's done in such a skillful way. It's like watching a master woodworker work. You're like, what a nice choice.
That people get hacked to pieces, much like wood. Yeah,
they set him up as, you know, he's very, you know, not disorderly, but obsessive compulsive, and yeah. You know, he like. There was a point where he was like doing all of his neatness routines that I turned to Ellie and I was just like, this is like watching porn for me. It's awesome.
It's funny, Bo, right before you got here, Ellie and I were discussing this and I asked him if he thought that Denzel Washington's character actually has obsessive compulsive disorder, because my first instinct when I was watching this movie was, you know, you see him arranging the cutlery at the diner and you think, well, maybe he's just regimented because he has a military background. But there's a specific point in the movie where he opens and closes a door three times.
Yep.
And there's no reason for him to do it other than it's a compulsion that is alleviating some sort of obsession at that moment.
He's not – I don't think he is like a DSM for like disorder. But he – you know, you can be obsessive compulsive and not be disordered.
Yeah, I really, you know? But I really do think he actually, like, I think that's part of the interesting thing about this character that's never specifically stated.
Well,
is that,
no, because yes, that may have been an intentional subtext, but like real people with that disorder, they act more like Jack Nicholson and as good as.
Well,
it
no,
gets,
no,
so.
Well,
no, 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 that's
it's hard.
That's,
it's hard to be a badass when you're washing your hands.
Well, no, yeah. But let me illustrate, because like I have suffered with OCD. I've been diagnosed and I deal with it, and one of the things I recognized is. Just, you know, timing things and everything has to be perfect. I'm not saying he's dysfunctional to where
can't
do anything, but I think he's a functional person that has to. And I like that they didn't mention it. I like that, you know, one of the things that cued it for me is that he has to click his watch to time everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, just. And I'm not saying that he can't get anything done, but I think it probably helps him.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
to, like,
and that's
keep
why.
Keep everything really, really straight in his head.
That's why I think it actually bears relevance on the movie, is because I think the reason he is so good at what he does. Is because of this really intense attention to detail.
Oh, poof.
And I think that's what's interesting is I think that's something that I haven't seen in a sort of a heavy hitman type character since Martin Blank in Gross Point Blank.
Yeah, right.
So it's just really interesting for me to think that maybe the reason he is so good at what he does is specifically because of this attention to detail that they're hinting at, this OCD that they're hinting at, but not never specifically saying one way or the other.
Yeah, and I want to talk to the listeners real quick. I know sometimes I am sort of spoiler heavy, but I am holding back right now from talking about just some of the awesome kills there are in this movie.
Oh, my God. It is
a portraiture. I don't
want
to ruin them for you. Just go. And the thing is, the first half of the movie is sort of slow. They're building up tension. They're showing you his introspection and how he views the world and why he's so invested in Chloe Grace Moretz. But that back half is nothing but action. So you get sort of a nice sort of drama thing going on, and then just, oh, you came for killing.
Yeah.
Oh, we could do that.
See, yeah, there is, it's much again, like John Wick, there is an emotional content to the movie. There is a connection that you make with the characters. They've done their job in actually, you know, going so far as to make you care.
Well, unlike the Mohawk folk here today, I did not go to Fantastic Fest, so I didn't see John Wick yet.
I'm not talking just to you, Elliot. There
but
are
I
people
will
listening.
Say, I will say. You know, when Brian walked in the door, I was like, are you back? He's like, yeah, I'm back.
Of course I am. Fantastic Fest is over.
No, my God, did you catch Concrud?
I did. No, but the thing is, but like John Wick, like when he turns it on and when he goes after people, he is painting a fresco of pain with viscera. Like, that is the color palette he's dealing with, is human insides. And I love that about this movie, because it goes to horror movie levels. Like, you will never be able to shop at a Home Depot ever again without thinking about Denzel Washington as this, like, bizarre, murderous Kevin McAllister character who is just having gleeful fun dispatching people with everything he can get his hands on. Like MacGyver's twisted cousin.
Yeah.
It's outstanding.
God. Between the rasp and that rant, did Cargill just come in?
I can, like, smell the smoke.
I'm going to do the rest of this review as Sam Elliott. So, the thing is, friend, when Denzel gets busy.
I will
busy,
say this. I mean, like, you know, this isn't what I would call, like, a action movie that elevates the form. I mean, it's a very good action movie, but... You know, I don't think it's all that much different than, say, Jack Reacher, which was another really good action movie that came out a lot. The standing difference in this is A, that it's Denzel, and he's charismatic as fuck because he's Denzel. The character, there's not really anybody in this movie that you haven't seen before except him. Mm-hmm. The characterization is incredibly on point. It works really well. And God damn it, man, people have tried to make a black action hero work before, and they have not been working with the right tools, and they found the right one, because motherfucker, this is just like, he's so engrossing and charismatic in this that even though you're seeing like, tropes that you've seen a million times, you're just like, oh my God, it's so refreshing to see you do this. Well, it's like watching, it's like going to see the Nutcracker that you have to take your daughter to see like six times in a row, and all of a sudden Mikhail Baryshnikov shows up and starts doing.
There's one kill in particular that I would call the Nutcracker. So
yeah, well, you said that, and it just reminded me, there is this Will Smith line that a black man could be an action star, but he can't be too threatening.
Right, and this is
no one told Denzel.
And
Denzel,
he's the exception that proves the rule, because he rolled for charisma so effectively that he can break that rule. He can be as threatening as he wants to be, but he just has to smile and talk to Marky Mark, and you're good.
He is straight up fucking Rorschach in this.
Oh my God!
It's a switch. When he's like, I'm the guy you wish you were dad. I'm the guy you wish you were dad. I'm the guy where you did that. Here comes Rorschach.
The face changes.
It's just how he's unflappable. Like at one point, one of the enemies comes to his house. And the guy, he's not phased. He's just like, he knows the guy's full of shit.
Well, he knows it's going to happen. And if, like, once again, pointing out some of the weaknesses of the movie, I will say this is kind of a Mary Sue bit. The man is a god, and he can do no wrong, even when, it seems like his nuts are really in the frying pan. But once again, totally sold by Washington.
Yeah,
and I also want to give a shout out to Martin Sokas, who plays.
He was good.
He is sort of the badass Russian that's sent in to handle whoever it is that's killing the entire mob.
It's so great because you have your Russian mob guy is the ultimate psychopath. Nobody comes close, and boy, they give him a scene that really illustrates that to a T in this. But three quarters of the way in, he's just like pretty much looking around and going, are you fucking kidding me here? What the fuck?
This I cannot fix this. This is the complete fucked.
And he keeps telling his boss, like, all throughout the movie, all will be well, all will be well, all will be well. And like at some point he's like Kevin Bacon at the end of Animal House. He's like, all will be well.
I just want him to be like, he is making stack of bodies the size of Chrysler Building. Yeah, that's right. Anyway,
that took a second for that.
Yeah,
to
Tony Scott. This is Antoine Fuqua, but still, I'm going to make Tony Scott jokes.
Antoine Fuqua, he did a great job, and I feel like maybe I'm seeing things when I'm watching this movie, but there were a few shots that looked like a Tony Scott movie.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay, absolutely. That's the other reason.
I didn't know that was just me.
No, that's the other reason this movie feels like such a spiritual successor to Man on Fire, is because it does have like. Fuqua is paying homage to Tony Scott in a lot of ways. Aping him entirely, but like definitely paying homage in a couple of different ways.
Yeah,
so.
There was a few shots over the big bridge in Boston with all the suspension cables that was very shaking. I was like, that had to be on purpose.
Yeah. Well, let's go to final thoughts here. And Bo, I'm going to start with you, sir.
Well, this is inarguably, as you said, a great, fun summer action movie. High quality. If nothing else, you can just go watch this, and like me, you're just going to enjoy the hell out of Denzel Washington, because, like I said, there's nothing in this movie I haven't seen before, but seeing this guy do it is incredible. He is very, very artful. It's Denzel Washington at the top of his fucking game. I really, really adored his performance. That being said, hey, you're not going to find anything new here as far as adventure movies go. And as I stated, the guy is a bit of a Mary Sue in it. Mm-hmm. And if that's the kind of thing that gets your nuts in the frying pan, then hey, don't go watch it. But I think this is a great way to this is a great movie to kind of see out your summer on. This is a good movie that you don't have to turn your brain off incredibly, and you'll have a lot of fun with. I will give it 8.5 Denzels out of all the Denzels.
Elliot?
I want to just echo everything Bo said. You said it perfectly. This is a great movie to see. Well, it's true. Like, this is a great movie just to end out your summer on. And only thing I will add to it is the character is a bit of a Mary Sue, but a lot of times these movies try to feint that, oh, the guy might be in trouble. This one is so satisfying because you never really feel like he's in trouble, so you can just more enjoy the kills. Yep. And just the ingenuity of them and his motivation, so you're more focused on his performance than worrying about the character.
Yeah, and basically, at some point in the movie, every time he talks to somebody, you're like, ooh, I wonder how you're going to kill him.
Exactly, so my rating would be 9.5 Timex watches out of 10.
Well done. Yeah, I mean, again, this is what's great about this movie is that even though there is a lot of id pleasing and there is a lot of shot in the face in Freud, the great thing is that they still take the time to develop the characters, to develop the relationship between Denzel and Chloe, and like, you just can't get away from the fact that Washington is a guy who was just born with an inordinate amount of charisma.
Supremacy.
What? With supremacy. Yes, absolutely.
Hey, careful.
Hey.
Well, he said born, so just...
I identified. And you went with supremacy. That's what I like to hear. But yeah, I think even as much as I enjoyed... One of the things I particularly enjoyed is one of the Russian gangsters that comes after him at the end has a fucking stupid handlebar mustache. Watching him die in such a... was like, yeah, fuck you, hipster.
It's not even handlebar. It's like straight up Salvador Dali.
I wanted to see Denzel bite a PBR can in half and then shove it in this guy's eye. But all that being said, it's also beautifully shot. It has a great score. A really fun story. And like I said, this has just been a tremendous, tremendous year post-summer for crime films. And I want to see Denzel. I want to see Tom Hardy. I want to see Keanu Reeves. And I want to see Liam Neeson.
Like, in the Unexpendables.
No, in like
that
a...
That would be the best.
No, in a Wild Bunch remake where they're all just able to kill the entire population of a small town. That would be incredible.
And then you set it in 1960s Alabama.
Oh, shit.
So it could be my dad's favorite movie of all time.
Well, there you have it. We're making movies for Elliot's dad now. That's what we do here. I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 Men on Fire. And the other... Man and a Half on Fire will come later when Denzel finds them, so yeah. Equalize that, motherfucker.